So, this is my second podcast. I changed the title of the podcast because it was just too long, honestly. But nobody's going to be trying to search for a podcast with, like, all those names or all those words. I have been running myself ragged. I got a job. I start work tomorrow night. So, part of what I want to talk about tonight is some of the corruption in Northeastern Pennsylvania. Our Lieutenant Governor, John Fetterman, was here to do a listening tour. He's been doing a listening tour around Pennsylvania to see how people feel about legalizing marijuana for recreational usages. And I got my dog and my cat are jumping on top of me. But anyway, we have our medical marijuana program here. I haven't been able to afford to pay the money to go to the doctor because you have to pay cash to see the doctor to get the safe harbor letter. But, you know, I found in the last few years that that weed actually is so much more helpful for me and helps me function like a human being. Like, I have a chronic pain condition, and so I've been prescribed opiates many times throughout my life. And I try to avoid them because I've been down that road so many times, and I know how it ends. I know how it ends. I've had plenty of friends succumb to their addictions from starting with pain meds. Just opiates are just bad. I went to check the forecast to see how it's going to look tomorrow night for going into work. And I saw that there's, at Scranton, there is a marijuana festival like every April. They usually hold it on like 420 or whichever Saturday is closest. So there's a story about the dispensaries are not going to be allowed to participate or be in the festival at all in any capacity, which makes absolutely no sense because that's where you're supposed, like, that's if you're supposed to be celebrating weed. Then that's, you know, that's where you would think the dispensaries would be saying, hey, this is what you need. If you guys can hear growling, that is just my dog being goofy. He's playing with my cat, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, because I like word puns. But you guys go away. I'm trying to say important things on the internet. Now, in Lackawanna County, there's been a lot of opioid deaths. Lackawanna and Luzerne County has been... It feels like it's disproportionately affected these counties more than other counties in Pennsylvania. I mean, NBC did a story about the epidemic in Luzerne County, and it got to the point at, I think last year, that they were having to bring in vans, like refrigerated trucks, basically. To store bodies because there was nowhere room in the coroner's office to store the bodies from the people that were overdosing. And this is a real problem. I mean, the Sackler family has gotten away with lying about how addictive OxyContin was. They still recently tried to get it approved for children under 12. There's no reason a child under 12 would ever need to take an OxyContin. Ever. Even if a child lost a limb, they should be in the hospital being medically supervised with something like morphine or fentanyl in a drip. Not going home with OxyContin. It's not safe for children. It's not safe for adults. This gigantic big pharma is just... it's ruining the lives of so many of us. Because there's no question that big pharma has contributed to the opioid crisis. I mean, when OxyContin came out, it became so much more socially acceptable to take pills. You weren't, and then when people ended up switching to heroin, it seemed like a natural thing because it just ended up being cheaper. In the beginning of the 90s, there was like this aura around junkies and heroin users that they were like, you know, strung out in alleys and shooting up with like puddle water and stuff. But, you know, throughout the 90s when OxyContin came out and was pushed to so many people, it just became so much more acceptable. And I know personally a lot of doctors were pushing these on patients because they get kickbacks from the pharmaceutical companies. And, this is breaking my heart because I have personally lost so many friends. So many friends to this. When we went to Vietnam, we would bring poppy plants back in coffins with the soldiers. We would smuggle them back in to come bring that over here. We already know that the CIA has, the CIA has been, well, not only testing on their own people, but bringing drugs into specific communities that they think are, I don't know, dispensable. It was crack in the 80s. Now the opioid epidemic is like, you know, seems to be like affecting white people that don't seem to be intelligent, except addiction affects everybody. Whether it was crack or cocaine, it doesn't matter if you were black or white in the 80s. Like, that's going to be addictive. Same thing with opioids. But we already know that the CIA does this stuff, and I was really looking forward to Cory Booker running for the nomination, but then I found out about his pharmaceutical ties, and I cannot put my support behind somebody that sells us death. It's not right. It's not right. I'm not going to get into my specifics about my political preferences for 2020 right now anyway, because there's a gigantic field of people. The other topic I wanted to touch down on about corruption in northeastern Pennsylvania today is about my landlord. No, I live in Dixon City. After I left my abusive ex, it was about a 9-year relationship. At the end, he was stalking me. He had a plan to kill me. He'd been grooming me for months. He'd been grooming me and everybody else around me for my disappearance. And I watched his father do that with her roommate, with his roommate, several years ago. And then she did disappear. And 17 months later, they found her body rolled up in a carpet. So after I realized that my ex was grooming me and everybody else to just, you know, make it seem like nothing happened, that I just went completely crazy and off my rocker. You know, I moved to Dixon City, and the place looked great when I moved here, except I found out very quickly that the place looked great, but only like half of the things worked here. I've been talking about this on my social media platforms a lot lately. This building is owned by a former Dixon City police officer. His name is John Sobieski. And he's been predatorily renting apartments out in this building that is basically a death trap for, I don't, God knows how long. There's several people that I'll get into that later, but so I called the zoning board over the summer because he was harassing me about something completely different. The reason he's a former Dixon City police officer is because he beat his wife at 3 in the morning on Main Street so loudly that a neighbor had to come outside and break it up and call 911 on him. And so he got fired from the police department. But now he works for just a different township. He tried to get his job back on the grounds that, you know, his wife didn't press charges. Because, of course, she's not going to press charges. Because if she presses charges and she's in an abusive relationship with a man that's in a position of power, of course it's going to get worse for her. Of course it's going to get worse for her. So why would she press charges? But they wouldn't hire him back onto Dixon City Police. So he's working for another township. Last month after the polar vortex, the snow melted and it seeped through the roof. Through the roof, through the second story apartment, through all those floorboards, and down through my ceiling tiles. And so I have exposed wires, I have exposed insulation. I barely have any running water here. Luckily, like, my friends have been helping me out to be able to bathe there, and as a result of this, the electricity was shorted out in my kitchen. I am luckily at the top of public housing list because of this, because this is a dangerous situation. But like, when I called the zoning board over the summer, they were on a first name basis with him. So when they came in, they saw that I had some laundry on my couch and like some papers that weren't tidy on the floor. They tried to say that they could kick me out when I was pointing out blatant violations, blatant code violations, because I know the law, because I've had to deal with this. I've been evicted before because of my abusive ex. So I know my rights and I know the law when it comes to these things. They just told him to leave me alone. They tried to argue with me that the apartment above me was unfit for human habitation, but that that did not mean that the building itself was condemnable. This place is very dangerous. There's floorboards falling from the apartment above mine down into where, like, the drop ceiling is. There's leaking sewage outside. Because he doesn't do any maintenance on the place. He pretty much, what he does is he will accept people that he thinks are vulnerable. Like, for instance, I know there's been two single moms. There's been a woman that was in a lesbian relationship, and I feel so bad for her because I can only imagine she must have gotten the worst of it. The last people that were here were a couple. She was pregnant and she was about to have a baby. And they just left all their stuff and moved in 2 weeks because they figured out that this was a scam. He lives right across the street from here and he keeps an eye on it. Now, with all of this being said, I was just informed by somebody in the neighborhood that he has a new car now. So while nothing's working in this building, and while he does tiny little repairs to try to make it look like it will be fine to move into, he's out buying a new car. I met a former tenant here one day when I was coming back from walking the dog. And she wanted her security deposit back because she left the place better than when she moved in. When I moved in, there was a bunch of junk in the back closet that he was trying to charge me for, like, the refrigerator, and there was already a recliner in here. He was trying to charge me for that. He told me not to touch any of the stuff in the back, but never offered to come clean it up. A former tenant told me that he walked in on her while she was sleeping one day, and luckily she has a pit bull, so she was able to not, you know, she had protection. The first week that I moved in here, the sewage started backing up, which just is unbelievable. I live in America. I live in the United States of America. This is one of the richest countries ever to exist. And a police officer is renting out a building where there is sewage backing up out of the drains. So I came home the first week of being here to some random guy who was apparently the handyman asking me if I had flushed tampons down the toilet to make a clog. And I said, first of all, I don't use them. Like, that's none of their business. Second of all, you don't need to know anything about what's happening in that area, and it's not clogging because of me. And this has been an ongoing problem, it turned out. So it wasn't anything new. That handyman ended up quitting about a month later. I have a pending lawsuit against this man, but I also have, I'm also facing criminal charges based upon an interaction with the Dixon City emergency medical response, the EMS, which honestly, I can't see how it wouldn't be some kind of retribution for me trying to call him out on his lack of responsibility for this property. I hired a private attorney and I will be dealing with that separately, but I told him that I have a lawsuit against him and we're still working on it. There are several of us in it. The problem is that this building, it is a public health hazard. The zoning board won't condemn it because they're friends with him. So he will keep getting away for years and years and years and years and years with renting out these apartments, getting first month's rent and security from people, then saying it was non-refundable, then being no having like not answering his phone, like just he's scamming people. And it's a goddamn shame. So I want this out there. I want this story to be told. I want people to hear about this. Working with some lawyers right now, I believe I found a team that can take the case, that has the ability to take this kind of case, because so many law firms have not been willing to work . I'm looking for a contingency plan, and going against people in northeastern Pennsylvania, in Lackawanna County in particular, it doesn't look good. The chances aren't good. The odds are not in the favor unless you have substantial evidence to prove negligence. Which we do. But there have been several law firms have just not, they've refused to take the case. So I think we have finally found one. Since I was at the top of the housing list, they told me I should call the Attorney General. So I did. And I'm scared. I am scared. I've been scared living here. I've been scared every day living here because he lives across the street and he watches to see who comes in and out. He watches to see if the old neighbors come here. But I'm not letting this go. Just because you're in a position of power does not mean that you get to treat people however the hell you want to be treated. And this is such, it's obviously it's a systemic problem to anybody that's paying attention. But it's particularly bad in Lackawanna County. I mean, our court system, our county court system, the jail, the Scranton School District, they're all corrupt. And we've already had several people in Luzerne and Lackawanna counties that have been taken down for their corruption, like Chivarello with the Kids for Cash scheme, except it's just, they're just doing it in different ways now. They're still pushing people through the system to try to make money off of people instead of just governing and helping people. And it's sickening. It is sickening and it is helping nobody. And that is not what life is about. So I wanted to put this out there, and I want other people to hear this because this is an insurance policy, pretty much right now. I've told my closest friends all about this, and that I am worried that I will be missing at some point because of fighting this with him. I mean, I already got charges when I called an ambulance because I was having a medical event. But the Dixon City Police responded. But if I'm not... Every single one of us has to do our part to make the world a better place. And I've been through enough in my life. I've been through so much that most people, like, can't even handle listening to. And, it really breaks my heart that there are people out there that prey on single mothers to rent to them, to get a couple thousand dollars out of them. Don't care if they have running water or heat or electricity, and just not fix anything and just wait for them to leave. He's a predator. That's what predators do. And we need each one of us, when we see a predator acting like this, we need to help take them down. So that's what this podcast is about tonight. Well, it's Sunday morning technically right now. He might hear this because who knows if he monitors my social media. They can try to sue me for slander or whatever, but I'm not saying anything that isn't true. That won't be proven in court. So, it's just very disappointing. Because there's a lot of us that feel hopeless here. We have been rated the most unhappy region in the entire United States. And it's because of things like this. So, getting a little emotional about this now, but it's important because we need to take down the bad apples in the institutional power structures that keep reinforcing predators being able to do things like this. And this is not me man-hating, because predators can be women too. So anybody that wants to start a conversation with me about that, you can start a conversation with me about that on Twitter. But for now, I'm going to sign off. I'll be making more podcasts this week. I just wanted to let everybody know, you know, my thoughts about this week and what's been going on, and just how sad it is that he just keeps getting away with this. This building needs to be torn down. So, the new name of my podcast is called Pretentious Times. Two words, so much easier to look up. And I'm now on Spotify. I'm on Google Podcasts. There's a couple other ones that I'm not super familiar with. But hopefully I'll be able to be on Apple Podcasts soon. I think it just depends on, like, how many I make. So thank you for supporting me. Keep listening. And I'm going to sign off by saying stay strong, because I have seen so much strength and resilience in the American people in the last few years in the face of all of this insanity. And that gives me hope. So stay strong. Good night.